Let the drama kick, the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die.
Yo, it's the Big Three Roll Up. It's your boy Silk.
It's Kev.
Newberg.
How y'all feeling, baby? I know you owe it to Berg. How you feeling, Kev?
I'm feeling good. Shit. How you feeling?
I'm feeling like a motherfucking bullfighter, bro.
Man,
did I curse too early, Berg?
No, you're
early
good.
In the show. All right.
No, fuck it. You're good. I went to the doctor. I've been really sick for a while now.
I bet.
And yeah. I went to the doctor, and he told me that they want to take my gallbladder out, like serious surgery. And I got Uncle Silk in the back of my head, and I'm like, Doc, you can't, like, I can't do it this week. FSU's 0-2. I can't risk dying,
bro.
Uncle Silk warned me that I might die before this win, and you don't want to die winless. So, like, can we push this thing back? He was cool with it.
I was like, where the fuck is he going with that?
You could possibly push that bitch back another 2 weeks, though.
I might have to. I told him it's just hit or it's touch and go as far as when this date's going to be for me to get this thing out, because I can't be dying in surgery winless.
Paul.
All right. So before we get started, we're going to have a big show today. We got Cole Kublik coming on to talk his shit. We got former UF linebacker Johnny Rutledge on the show. But I also want to talk real quickly about our Sunday show. I don't know if everybody knows that listens to the Big Three Roll-Up, but since the season started, we do a Sunday call-in only show. So it's all about you guys, call-in only. It's called Same Energy Sunday. We do it on Sunday. We record usually around noon, and we just try to get that show up as soon as we can after it gets edited and stuff. So make sure you guys, if you want to call in, DM the pod account, and we'll get you on.
Answer your damn phones when you send TJ your number and shit.
Yeah.
Very important. It's the only way we can get you on if you answer your phone. I don't know if you know that.
So let's get into the show. We're going to talk about FSU losing. We're going to talk about UF winning the nail brighter over Kentucky, and Miami avoids the trap. So let's just
Doug Berg's the number one motherfucker that calls me out for not knowing what a trap game is and then say that shit.
You don't even know what a trap game is.
You obviously don't either.
You don't want to flip the definition of a trap game, bro.
So FSU loses in James Blackman's debut, 21-27. First of all, I want to start off by talking about James Blackman and his performance in that game. He went something like 22 for 38 for about 280 yards, touchdown and no interceptions. I thought James Blackman... you really couldn't have expected more from James in that game. He came out, he wasn't accurate to start. You know, they had to get him in a rhythm, but once he did, he was feeling it, man. He hit some nice deep balls. I mean, Auden Tate had 9 catches for 138 yards and left the game early with a shoulder injury. They even got George Campbell involved. He had 3 catches for 85 yards.
I'm surprised. I didn't know he could catch. That was some good news.
Yeah,
he actually caught the ball. That's big for him, bro.
It's a moral victory for FSU, I guess. George Campbell catching some balls.
Yeah, count your blessings, bro.
But overall, I mean, what did you guys think of James Blackman out there?
He was gunslinging that shit, bro. I like him a lot, man. Deep ball is beautiful. He got to work on his swing passes and accuracy and shit like that, the intermediate throws. But that deep ball is beautiful, man. He was dropping dimes out there. Even the one he threw out of bounds when he got hit, and I forgot who caught it, but they caught out of bounds. That shit was beautiful, man.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's going to be a problem.
It was actually Jacquez Patrick that caught that one, surprisingly. But, yeah, that was like a 45-yard deep ball that, yeah, he was – and you know what? I loved his enthusiasm. Like, he was
– Even that, was, that spin move was fucking – I didn't know he had that in him.
Nah,
I've been watching him for a while. I didn't know he had that spin move. He fumbled on that bitch, but he hit the juke button on that one, dog. A little spin move. That shit was dope.
Yeah, he's going to be nice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was too bad that the rest of the team really – I thought – honestly, I thought the rest of the team let James Blackman down. I mean, when you got wide receivers that can't get lined up right, you got Derek Kelly with three false start penalties on his own. You had some holdings. You had some other things. You also had Jimbo coaching real tight. I mean, think if Jimbo expressed the same body language and enthusiasm that James Blackman was expressing. Like, Jimbo seemed nervous. Jimbo seemed tight. The 18-year-old kid that was starting his very first game in college football seemed like he was ready to just, you know.
But that's what I told y'all. The moment's not going to be too big for him ever. I don't care if it was a national championship. He's got that type of mindset and that whole type of persona, man. He was getting sacked, getting hit. He was hopping back up, man. Like, let's play ball. Like, that's his attitude, man. That's his personality. Plus, they got him one. They got him a quarterback. They just got to find, you know what I'm saying, everything. Put everybody else around them in the right position, and they'll be fine.
Well, right now we know that they got a quarterback. Right now we know that they have a running back in Cam Akers. Right now we know that they have some quality wide receivers. I'm not going to call them elite wideouts, but I do think that they have a stable of quality wide receivers. But I'll tell you what, man, Jimbo Fisher's play calling, I don't know if you guys see it the same way, but every play looks like it's so slow to develop. Everything is so everything has to be so exact and so precise for this to work. And it's like if one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong. And I feel like there's other teams out there that play a lot more carefree and a lot more just kind of almost sandlot football. Like, look at what how Kentucky was playing on offense, you know?
Yeah. Kentucky, so, how are they playing offense? What do you mean? How was Kentucky?
Well, I mean, they were slinging the ball around. You know, UF was throwing stuff at them, and they were countering. I feel like Florida State didn't have an answer. Like, when they got punched in the mouth early on, it was like – and I'm not talking about them as in the team. I'm talking more them as in the play calling and the coaching that I saw. It just seemed like they locked up. Jimbo locked up. And I think his body language and his energy reflected onto the players.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he was trying not to lose the game and trying not to turn over the ball and make huge mistakes because that shit could have got out of hand with a freshman quarterback. So I think he was trying to see what he had a little bit there too, man. I can't fault Jimbo play calling that much, man. I don't think they look not explosive. They had some explosive plays. I just don't think they was finishing in the red zone. They moved the ball. I think they just couldn't score in the red zone.
Again, that's what I'm talking about with Jimbo's offense. Everything – you know, he marches so slowly down the field. When you got 12 plays, there's going to be a drive stall. There's going to be a penalty because Florida State's not efficient with that. You know, so I think Jimbo needs to find some more explosive plays to not march it down bit by bit into the end zone every time. They got the athletes to roast.
And usually Jimbo has one or two plays where you just like he got one in his back pocket that he's mm-hmm. waiting to use. I didn't see that play Saturday, and I was a little shocked by that. He always had that one wrinkle or two wrinkles that give him a huge big play at a crucial moment, and I never seen that play. So that's why I was missing from Jimbo a little bit there.
Yeah, I agree. So we're going to get more into Florida State. We're going to get more into the trench talk of Florida State, NC State with Cole Kublik. So let's keep it moving. So it was another thriller for the Gators. They won in a nail biter over Kentucky. So what was your impressions from the game and how do you feel now?
Rewatched the game two more times since Saturday. I still feel the same way, man. I think Malik Davis needed to get a lot more touches. Same thing with Kadarius Toney. I think they got to go some tempo, we're not getting enough plays. I mean, we're averaging about 60 plays a game. That's just not enough plays. It shrinks your margin of error the less plays you have on offense. And I think even with that last drive, I was like, they better score because they milked like 4 minutes on the last drive. So I was like, they better score because there's no room for error here. If they don't score here, game is over. So I think we need to go more up tempo. And the secondary, they got to seal up things with those safeties, man. Safety play is terrible right now. We're missing fucking forgetting his name. Harris. We're missing my man Harris big
Marcel.
Time. Yeah, we're missing Marcel big time, bro. That injury is causing us a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the right formula is on the back end of that defense? Who would you play?
I think right now we'll play the young guys because one thing about football, if you want to tackle, that's something you can't make somebody want to do is come up and hit somebody in the mouth. That's something you want to do or don't want to do. And those guys don't want to come up and hit somebody in the mouth, man. And it's showing in the run game. We're giving up big runs. Nobody's filling the alley on the second level. We got to get some guys that want to, even if it's the freshmen, put Brad Stewart in the game or put Sean Davis, the kid from Miami, in the game. Put those young guys in the game. Even if they don't know all the calls, they're going to at least come up and smack somebody in the run game right now.
So give me your starting secondary. Who would you have back there right now?
Right now? I would still keep Chauncey.
At what position?
At free safety. I will bring in one of the younger guys to fill in the bucket. You can't put Chauncey at strong safety. He don't want to tackle nobody like that right now. So
I'm surprised as hell, man.
Now I kind of get why he wants to play cornerback.
Because he can't tackle.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah. Now yeah. I kind of get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I didn't get it before because he was recruited as a freshman and whatnot, but now I kind of get it, man. I kind of get why he wanted to play cornerback and not safety because he don't want to tackle anybody. But for now, because our cornerbacks are playing well, I'll keep Chauncey at free, and I'll bring either Brad Stewart in or Sean Davis in to play the strong safety.
And we saw the comeback kid is Kev, his affectionately named Luke Del Rio. The comeback kid.
Sorry, huh? Bro. He earned that shit.
Hey, Kev, who's the best quarterback on Florida's roster based on what
you're saying? Hey, all I know is what the coaches are telling me, bro. The coaches are telling me that somebody's ready to go, bro. You play your best players.
Oh, speaking of.
Hey, I'm here to get wins, man. If Del Rio get the wins, y'all think I'm not going to cheer on Saturday?
No, you should definitely cheer for him. I mean, it's your quarterback.
There you go.
That's what all the experts been saying the whole summer.
That's my job, bro.
That was your quarterback the whole time.
That's my job to do is cheer, bro.
The experts did come on this show and silk dismissed.
I think they would have
won. The expert said who's going to start Michigan. They were wrong.
The
I was right.
Said, don't forget about Luke Del Rio. And you said
we never forgot about him.
That was a loss, though.
We talked about him the whole time. We never forgot about
him. That was a loss, dog. If they would have played him against Michigan, I like their chances.
Silk, I had a –
comeback kid, bro.
I spoke to a coach not with the Big Three, outside of the Big Three, that watched the Florida game. And we talked on Monday, and here's what he told me. He said that he thinks Kadarius Toney should be at quarterback for them, for the Gators, but Nuss and Mack aren't creative enough to be able to use him and trust him in that role. But he fully thinks that Kadarius Toney should be playing quarterback right now for UF.
Have you seen Kadarius Toney play quarterback?
No, but I mean more as in the running role and
that's what he did Saturday.
Right. Well, I'm saying.
Yeah, I said that. He need more touches. Wildcats.
Starting quarterback. I'm sorry. He should be the starting quarterback.
No, there's no way he's going to get this playbook that fast, man.
Well, that was this coach's point would be that you need to redraw the entire playbook and that he didn't think that Nuss would be down for that.
The redraw he got there in the summertime, they're going to redraw it that fast for him.
Well, you got to make it so it's almost like a high school, you know, so he's almost like a running back there. But his point was Kadarius Toney is such a playmaker that he should be touching the ball every snap.
I don't agree with him at quarterback. I agree with him touching the ball a lot. In SEC play, you're going to have to scratch the field and throw the ball downfield. Kadarius Toney ain't going to provide that. Not at quarterback. But I like him in the little trick plays that we did, get him in some wildcat touches. But him at quarterback every down, in SEC play, they would load the box and kill him. We won't be able to run the ball with him at quarterback.
No, I don't think so either.
That's crazy.
But they're going to load that bitch up against Del Rio too, though.
Yeah. And you get your one-on-ones, you can throw some jump balls. But yeah. Darius Toney, dog, that shit is not going to work. I love the kid, but I like him at receiver better.
Kev, were you excited to get out of that Toledo game alive? You feeling good now?
Yeah, you had me thinking it was a trap game, dog.
Bro, I had the entire Miami fan base thinking that was a trap.
They were shook. They were shook the first half. Yeah, even the third quarter, they were shook. They tried to add like everything.
No one was shook, but I mean, they haven't played football in a month.
Kev, so I had Miami fans in my mentions adding me saying that I was actually right, that this is a trap game and they're going to lose if they don't start playing better.
Yeah, but that's not a trap game, dog. Just because you start slow does not make this shit a trap game, bro. Let me say what a trap game is real quick. Like this week, on a short week, you play Duke on a Friday night, right? And then you got Florida State next week. So that's got a trap game potential where you're possibly on a short week already
you know
game
what a real trap game is. Bird trap game.
Yeah, I invented trap games. You can't tell me the definition of a trap game.
Like, well, it's not Toledo. It's not Toledo. Yeah, so Miami started off slow. There's a lot of busted coverages. It looks like the safeties will be playing cover two, and the corners will be playing like cover three, like man under or some, you know, like something that's not even like they're not on the same page at all. And that could have to do with, you know, not practicing the last month, you know, and consistent practice schedule, or, you know, something with the coaching, or, you know, whatever it is. But they straightened it out in the second half.
So how are you feeling about so what was the biggest gaffe in that game? Was it the kid from the Citadel that everybody was talking about? I didn't really get to watch the second half.
Oh, bro, he's been up, though.
That jig was up, Bethune.
Yeah, that jig been up, dog.
Wait, what's his name?
Dean Delaney. I'll come on right now, dog. I lied a lot about that shit.
Ivins did, too.
Yeah, Pete did. I don't know about Ivins.
Ivins did. Ivins said it was like getting a free agent.
Yeah, I remember Ivins was really high on him.
Yeah, he's like getting a big-time free agent. Getting him.
But Pete was head over heels about him.
Pete called me out.
So the problem is, if you play any coverage except bump and run, somewhere he can get his hands on the receiver, he's toast, man. If he can't get his hands on you, I don't think he plays that much anymore, man, to be honest with you.
So who's your starting secondary? Same question I gave Silk.
Yeah, I go Redwine, Jaquan Johnson in the back, and then Malik Young and Bandy probably on the outside.
Quick question:
that's who's playing the best right now.
That's gonna be interesting.
That's who's playing the best. So, I mean, and we knew that the back end was gonna be the weakness, right? So it's more you got to get the push with four, and send, you know, Manny likes to blitz. Send McLeod, send Pickney, send these guys on blitzes, man, and just hope you get pressure.
Mm-hmm. Now with Toledo and Duke, they play similar, get the ball out fast type of offense. Mm-hmm. Do Duke pose some threats to y'all? They have athletes than Toledo.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna get the ball out fast. They just play very well against North Carolina. They're going to try to get the ball out fast, run a lot of plays. Cutcliffe is a very good coach, man. He's a very underrated coach in the ACC.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like – I mean, this shit could be weird at halftime. It could be weird, but I think Miami's athletes, as far as skill position, Amon Richards comes back this week. So it's kind of going to shore up the wide receiver position. Travis Homer had a little bit of a coming out party. So now he's in the mix, catching screens. Getting some touches. Mark Walton's vision looks a lot better. We'll see how it translates to Duke, Florida State, Virginia Tech coming up. But I think we have a good enough offense. And then in the trenches, we're going to kill their offensive line. And our front seven, they shouldn't be able to run the ball on us. So it's all about how quick they get the ball out and how fast we come up and tackle.
Yeah, he's gonna want to keep guys off, get y'all off balance. That's Cutcliffe's thing, man. Up tempo, keep y'all off balance. That's the only way I think they could take advantage of y'all running the ball. If you just keep y'all off balance, but keep you guessing.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, the game's on TV. It's a Friday night. People be watching.
It's a Friday night, bro.
You're gonna be watching. We know
I'm
one.
Be, I'm gonna be driving to Gainesville, bro.
We know one person's gonna be watching.
Who you? Because I'm gonna be driving to Gainesville, bro. I'm gonna tweet like I'm watching it though. If y'all losing, if y'all winning, I'm just gonna be like, all right, fuck that, just in the car. But if y'all losing, man, like I'm at
the game. Tweets off.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it shit could get weird in that. It might be a weird score at halftime. I think Miami wins handily.
Speaking of getting the tweets off, as the season's worn on, we got to pay tribute to a few that aren't with us anymore, fellas. There's been a few Twitter deactivations.
Oh, yeah. from your very own, man. D. Rose, man.
Oh, man. Baby Quitter. D. Rose is a friend of the show, man. D. Rose is a friend of the show, and
he was an anchor, man. He was a host for a week.
We considered him for face of the FSU Twitter.
The problem is, a lot of these guys became fans when Jameis got on campus, so they're not used to losing, bro.
You think D. Rhodes became a fan when Jameis got on campus?
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, he don't seem like a fan no more.
Yeah, he jumped James out the left. Paint, bro. Yeah, he was sweet, too. Campus. I'm going to show you, like, you look at his last tweet was when UF won, he was like, yeah, that was a blessing in disguise. UF winning, and they never seen him again. I was like, where the fuck did D-Rose go? My man just vanished.
Well, when we get to the call,
every 5 minutes too.
When we get to the caller portion of the show, we're gonna try to give him a call and see if we can get an explanation from D Rhodes. But there's been a couple other notable ones. Slingshot, he's a big time FSU Twitter guy. He does a lot of funny edits and videos and stuff. He's actually pretty entertaining. But he hasn't deactivated, but he also hasn't posted in like 4 days. So we got him on deactivation watch. I wish Meemaw would deactivate, but unfortunately she has not. His takeoff.
Now, Takeoff standing in the paint, man.
It's my man. See, he's growing.
He's just saying nonsense all day, bro. He's just on repeat. Like, if you say something to him, like Miami fans trolling, you just say 7 in a row. Like, he says, like, the same shit on repeat all day.
And
he's got to get some new material, bro.
Yeah, well, the problem is these dudes don't even get it, man, because I would stay on. Maybe don't even tweet. Don't even come on Twitter. But why would you deactivate? Because if they beat Miami, then there's a lot.
They got ammo.
Yeah, a lot of fucking ammo. Yeah, right?
There's a lot of games.
I'm not going to stop tweeting.
Pretend they beat Miami and he comes back, no one's going to respect that shit as a troll.
We should all block him.
We should all block him.
What would it take for you to deactivate on Twitter?
I stood in the paint with 4-8, baby. I ain't going nowhere.
Okay, that's
pretty good. I stood in the paint, baby.
It's never going to get worse than 4-8.
Nah, it ain't going to get worse than that, dog.
I don't know what could make me deactivate. It has to be something personal. It has to be some personal shit.
Yeah, I agree.
It has to be some personal shit.
Yeah, some rhyming.
I had warrants or some shit. Like, if I got warrants, I got to deactivate.
I couldn't do this stuff. Doesn't bother me. I mean, this is my job. I'm just here to tell the story. So, like, there would be no reason for me over FSU loss or losses to deactivate. I couldn't be me. Sorry, D Rhodes, couldn't be me. Let's keep it on the Twitter theme. Want to update some people on our Twitter feud with Jen Royal? Jen_ROYLE.
Slider bait.
Slider queen. She played the victim when TJ called her slider queen in the mentions of an argument that she was involved with. You guys remember this whole story. TJ called her slider queen. She took that. She spun it. She said that we were being disrespectful to women who want to be chefs. And she took it on as this social justice cause. She really wanted to be offended, even though we didn't offend her.
She was like she was Sean King of sliders.
Yeah. Not the black Sean King that we have on the show.
Black Lives Matter. No, she was Slider Lives Matter, bro.
She was the white Sean King.
Yeah, she was out here.
And I called it last week. I said, this is how she's going to make a living. Like, she plays the victim. She's a beautiful, very pretty female on Twitter that plays the victim, and you can build a career off that. And that's what she's doing. And she doesn't even work in a restaurant, so she's now holding a slider event. Now let me read.
Nobody's opening a whole restaurant just for sliders, bro.
No, I'm saying, but she took the slider reference as an insult. So she thinks that she's a bum.
It is. You think TJ meant something nice by that shit, bro?
So she's doing a charity event to prevent cyberbullying at a Boston Children's Hospital. Now, Silk brought up a good point on Twitter. How exactly is you putting on an event that calls attention to yourself and your food going to actually impact cyberbullying?
Here's the thing. You're at a hospital. It's like real shit going on in there, bro. It's cancer, fucking AIDS. I don't know why I brought that one up, but it's a lot of shit going on.
I got a little drunk, but okay.
Kids have AIDS too, bro. Broken legs and shit, ACL injuries, all kind of real shit going on at the hospital, and you're doing like a fucking charity for internet bullying, bro. That shit's crazy to me. Like, do that shit at an internet cafe or some shit. Right at the hospital.
And I don't know if you guys saw, but I kind of went in. I did a Twitter thread.
Yeah.
And had to just kind of explain what was happening. I took one of the people that was tweeting out her stuff, and I explained that actually we got attacked. I never knew who Jen Royal was until I woke up last Monday, and she had added me 3 times, one of which calling me a pussy. And I just took a step back, and I'm like, what's going on? So,
you put a strong emphasis on that pussy, bro. You didn't like that shit one bit, did you?
Not at all. Not at all. It was a capital P.
Gotta take that man game picture down.
So I had to explain that this is not us trolling her or insulting her at all. This was her taking something and trying to be offended and turn it into a full self-serving purpose. We got screenshots of her calling other women, Britt McHenry, a cunt. She called. I mean, we got screenshots, and I was just sending these, and I said, "Your WCW or what? Woman Crush Wednesday is a cyberbully. Couldn't be me." So I don't know if they got the point, but she locked her. She locked her Twitter. So I
no, you that. Bullied her into locking her shit, bro.
Do you really think?
A little bit. But no, he didn't even. But Berg didn't even add it. We're blocked by her, so Berg couldn't have bullied her. That couldn't happen.
Yeah,
Berg turned into baby Meemaw, bro. He had time, dog. I went away for like 10 minutes, came back. He was asking like, "Should I do this shit?" I was like, "I don't know, man. I want the guy from Boston to kind of go to her shit with our big three roll up shirt on and like flex on her." But I called
that shit's gonna be fucking super dope. Take a selfie with her, you know, slider.
Bro, Berg had some Johnny Cochran shit going on, like a thread, like evidence, like a whole case. Like, he was a Jewish lawyer and shit. I was like, yeah, that charity's going to get shut down, bro. I don't see them, like,
holding. You got to admit, I didn't attack her at all, and I think that thread was well thought out.
And he offered money. That shit was great.
And, yeah, at the end, I'm dead-ass serious. I told everybody that was tagged, I said, send me the link, and I'll donate to the charity, and I really will. If they send me a link, I will put my own money up. And I'll donate to the charity. Whatever dinner costs, I'll donate the money of a dinner. But I said you should change the host of this event because she's a fraud.
Yeah, they're going to have to fire her, bro. She got a screenshot saying cunt, dog. You can't just have her out there with children.
Here's
another screenshot. With the kids and shit. Talk about my kids. And she's out there with the kids. She's calling people pussies and shit.
Hold on. Here's what the goons found. Oh, by the way, you know how like you got the LeBron Hive, and you got these other things that are all fans of.
Yeah, the Hive.
I'm officially calling them the Goons. By the way, I think that's just appropriate. The Goons sent me this screenshot. It says, "This is from Jen Royal. She was tweeting this at somebody. Listen up, you little fucking twat. Is a bad look for a grown man. What the fuck do you do?"
Hold on. Read it again, bro. All right.
This is who's posting a cyberbullying event. Beard. This is what she tweeted, and she's gone and deleted a lot of her tweets. So this is a screenshot that the goons found for me. "Listen up, you little fucking twat. Insulting people's careers is a bad look for a grown man. What the fuck do you do?"
Dog, that shit's like.
And then this is what she said. Like another fucking Britt McHenry. So she's there. You can Google Jen Royal, Britt McHenry, and there's actual articles on their feud. So Britt McHenry, so Jen Royal goes at Britt McHenry, and Britt writes back to her. I don't know what the tweet that preceded this was, but Britt wrote, "Not at all. Would love to order some catering. Then deals run through next March and can't announce. Take care." So I think they're arguing about something, and she kind of said something to Jen about her cooking and called her a caterer. So Jen Royal quotes the tweet and says, "I'm not a caterer, cunt." To Britt McHenry.
She go for the juggler with her words, bro.
Right. Right. All her words are.
Yeah, she ain't fucking off. She going straight for the juggler, bro. She's trying to get you out of the paint.
And I'm cool with it. Like, this is Twitter. I think everybody understands that these are just words and everything. But this is a person that uses these type of words and is now hosting a cyberbullying event.
I just want my guy from Boston to show up, bro.
Oh, yeah. So we got on Twitter, somebody hit us up from Boston and said that they're about an hour from the city and that if we send them a big three roll-up shirt, they'll go to the event. And I believe TJ has already mailed the big three roll-up shirt, so if anybody else out there lives in the Boston area and wants to attend the event, I will pay. I will donate the money for you to eat at the event and will send you a shirt. So just hit us up.
We're trying to do some charity out here. And what we got on the show today? We're getting red on this bitch?
Yeah, we're getting in there. Let's get Johnny Rutledge, former 40 Gator, on the show. Let's talk some ball.
From the crib, right. Baby.
561.
Rut! All right, first guest on the show, we got a Belgrade legend, Gator legend, linebacker great from the University of Florida, Johnny Rutledge. Rut, how's it going, man?
Man, I'm good, man. You?
Man, I can't complain, man. I grew up a fan, man. I'm talking about from elementary school. I watched you playing when you was in high school, and I'm from the sub, man. I'm from Belgrade as well, so I watched you playing when I was a kid. I'm a fan, man.
So, you know what, man? I'm a fan. Fan now, man. Hey, man, all of your tweets are crazy, so I follow you on Twitter. Always laughing at you, man. So, yeah, man, from the crib, so I know, bro.
That's what's up, man. So, man, how you feeling about the season so far, man? I'm just asking you a little bit about Florida football, then we'll jump into some other stuff, man. So, how you feeling about the season so far? How you think the defense looking?
How I think that the defense is looking? I mean, man, right now, to be honest with you, Jekyll and Hyde, man. One series, I mean, looking dialed in and ready to go, man. Then the next series, giving up runs, passes. I mean, they're young. I mean, but the thing is, they have to step it up now. So, I mean, right now, man, kind of a helter-skelter, Jekyll and Hyde. So, I mean, hopefully this group can grow up fast.
I agree, man. I think one of the problems is depth right now, especially at the linebacker position. We got some guys suspended, hurt, and one got kicked out the last game, so we're having some depth issues. Do you think Randy's going a little vanilla, keeping basic schemes, or how you think Randy's doing as far as play calls?
Yeah, I mean, man, I really think that Randy is being Randy, man. Follow Randy at the U. Randy didn't blitz a lot. I mean, I'm saying Randy shot back and played a lot of cover two, bump and run man, and we're doing the same things now. I mean, so I think that Randy is just being Randy.
Gotcha. So going forward, what would you like to see different, man? We want to see called or played different as a team, just offense all around. What you want to see from Mac to make a change? Right now, we're in a little. No pun intended, with a little rut.
I mean, first, man, with the offense, play along with me here, Sip. And when you think of Washington State, you think what?
Spread them out, pitch it around.
Spread them out, yeah, throw it around. Think of Bama, you think, man, power plays, play action passes.
Yeah.
If you think of Arizona, man, you think like a true spread team. And then with us, I mean, man, one series we're spread, one series we're double tight. So I mean, I don't know what we want to be. So I mean, hey, we have to find something. Then man, we have to stick to it. If we're gonna be a play action team, all right, be it. But I mean, man, you know what I'm saying. We go spread, we go power plays. I mean, man, just find something and stick to it.
And how do you feel about them swapping quarterbacks? It seemed like Mac had a good time with it. It was kind of needed. What's your opinion on them switching quarterbacks from the young guy to the seven-year senior?
I mean, man, only thing is, with me, I would stick with the younger guy. Just for growth, and then I mean, with him, I mean, man, being a young guy, I wouldn't want to be taken out. Always worried about, you know what I'm saying, getting pulled. So I mean, the thing is, with Mac, man, let him play. See if he can throw some digs, some post routes, some outs. I mean, 'cause from him, only seen screen, slant, and a deep ball.
We just started seeing the slant, right? We just starting to see that.
Yeah, right.
So when I seen the slant this year, I was like, okay, we getting better, baby.
You're right, man. I hadn't seen a dig, a post, a out in like years. So, I mean, man, but with Luke, he actually came in the game. Offense moved better, but I still think that, man, we just got to find a guy and then just stick with one guy, man. So, yeah. I mean, man, I'm getting tired of seeing all the every year got a new guy playing. I mean, man, find a guy, let him grow up.
Gotcha. I agree, man. Now, the high school team, when, like I said, I watched you guys play when I was a kid, man. You played with Sider. Do you talk to Sider often?
I mean, right now, I don't try to bother him because I'm going to be like the fan, want to know what's happening. I mean, right now, I mean, for now, man, I don't really bother him right now. Let him just coach it out. I mean, but during this off season, hey, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a long talk. So right now, man, just let him work.
I got you, man. Now, I think, in my opinion, I think if not one of the best teams in the state, I definitely think that the year y'all played, you guys lost to Rockledge that year. But I think that was one of the best teams, and I think that's the best team that Glacier had that year in Palm Beach County history. How you feel about that?
Oh, man, you know, back at home, when you throw the word history out, you're going to have a lot of people saying, no, man, 72 was better. Or, no, man,
I heard about 72, though.
91 was better. I mean, so I don't like to use the word best ever, but we would be able to play with any team that you, say 72, 92, 93. I mean, man, all those teams, I mean, man, I really think that we can play with them and win.
Now, the average fan might not know who's on their roster. Just man, off the top of my head, man, you had what, Fred Taylor? The backup running back was James Jackson. You had yourself.
Hold on. Yes, man.
Yep. Some other names, cats might not know, man. Go ahead.
Robert Newkirk, he played, yep. played in the league for about five years. We had an offensive tackle played in the league for about five or six years. So, I mean, on that team alone, there was about seven pro guys and about, I want to say, about 17 D1 guys. So, I mean, it was just laced with talent. I mean, man, practices were almost better than games. I mean, man, me and Fred T going at it daily. I mean, so, I mean, man, that was a pretty talented team.
Now, how was it going from college, from high school with Fred and Riedel, you guys going to college? How was that relationship, and how do you guys how much fun was that, man?
Oh, man, it was always good, man. You know, those two guys are like brothers. I mean, man, so they showed me the ropes early. And then from there, man, we always knew that we always wanted to play well, man. Being from Belgrade, you know, man, it's always that I'm saying, I pressure on you to play. So,
yeah.
I mean, man, we always want to know that, you know what I'm saying, we always want to play well. We already knew that talent was there. I mean, man, just going there and then, man, just balling out, man, having fun. So, having our chance.
And how did Spurrier convince you to come up there and play with them boys?
Spurrier didn't have to. I mean, man, the thing is, Florida State, I always hated those guys, man. Never liked them. You know what I'm saying? Either you
me
were kind of good. They were like falling off then. So I mean, man, Florida was a school. I'm saying Georgia sucked. I mean, I wasn't trying to go to Notre Dame. So, I mean, man, I always knew I was going to Florida. So, I mean, man, Spurrier didn't even have to come in my house. I mean, man, I was coming to Florida. Man, I didn't care.
Hey, Johnny, it's Josh Newberg. We talk a lot of recruiting on the show. So I was just wondering, did you take any official visits?
Yeah, actually did.
So what'd you see? Where'd you go?
Florida, so, yeah, I mean. So
you had fun.
Yeah, knew I was going to Florida the whole time, so I wanted to go places that I always saw. Notre Dame was one, mm-hmm. And it was snowing there. That was my first time seeing snow, so I was like, you know what, this is a no for me. Colorado was my was my next visit. I mean, man, beautiful campus. And they were playing well. So I took a visit there. Mm-hmm. And my next visit was kind of out of the blue, but it worked out right, though. I mean, Kansas State, Bobby Stoops was there then. I mean, man, he was begging me to come to Kansas State. I'm like, Coach, man, hey, it's cold here, and man, it's too far. But he came to Florida 2 years later, so it worked out well.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, for you to meet him at that time.
Yes, sir.
Was Jim Leavitt on that staff at Kansas State?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Really? Linebacker coach.
Yeah. So Jim Leavitt personally recruited you.
Yes, he did.
Kansas State. That's funny.
Yep.
And you obviously took one to Florida, right?
To Florida, yeah.
So what was that like when you sat down with Spurrier in his office on that official visit?
Man, I already told you, man. I told Steve back in August I was coming to Florida. So my visit was just going there, seeing the school, meeting the guy. I mean, coach already knew I was coming, man. My first game in high school, I was doing the gator chump, making tackles. So everybody knew I was coming there. Florida State called me and said, do we have a chance? I told them no. So, and they stopped calling. But, I mean, man, I already knew I was going to Florida. Then on my visit, I just basically told Coach, all right, Coach, man, hey, I'm home now.
It was hard. It was hard. Like I said, I grew up a Gator fan, man. Like, since that's all you knew. Like, it's hard to imagine being a fan of anything else. Because back then, Belgrade was Gator country, man. It's still somewhere.
Gator country all day long. Man.
They got a water tower out there with Florida Gators.
Yeah.
You live that thing, man.
Yeah. You right.
Yo, Johnny, this is Kev, man. How do you experience a kid like James Blackman? You know, from Belgrade. So obviously, you know, we're all from Palm Beach County, so I like to root for those kids. But at a rival mm-hmm. school, how do you experience that?
I missed the last part. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, they're all from Belgrade, so you're rooting for them, right? Yeah. You're rooting for them to succeed. Yeah. But then they're at a rival absolutely. School. So how do you experience that?
Oh, man, just last week, hey, I tweeted out about Blackman starting. I'm like, you know what? Hey, I want to set the record straight. Hey, I'm rooting for Blackman, not Florida State. I mean, man, just to beat from Belgrade, Florida.
The theme of the podcast right now.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I said that too. Yeah, that was a common theme around this mug.
Hey, you got root the crib, man. It's a crib.
Yeah. I mean, man, just being from home, man, you got to overcome so much. So, I mean, for him to be playing against that team, that was actually easy for him, because man, coming up, man, from a small town, area's poor.
Yeah.
The thing is, with us, I always want to see everybody do well. So with him starting, I'm like, hey man, I go in there and play well. But
and a loss.
That,
play well.
That last game, we need you to choke a little bit.
Basically.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you know, because he's got all the tools. Some of the coaching that he endured during his time in high school, you know, there was mm-hmm. something to be lacking. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what Jimbo can do with him, man. Because I really think he's a pro if he gets in a college weight room. And
man, you know what? With him, I really think that the sky's the limit, man. 6'5", he'll get
about 135 pounds.
Yeah.
Be respectful, yeah. Be respectful.
he'll be pretty good, man.
Oh man, Johnny, this is Josh again. You know, I represent Florida State on this podcast, and
from an outsider perspective, do you see a shift occurring in the power rankings of the Florida schools right now? Is this kind of how it happens?
You know what? It's really like cyclical. Like, man, every 4 or 5 years, powers shift to the next school. And you know what I'm saying? Right now it's Florida State, and hopefully we can get back on there sooner than later. I mean, man, haven't beaten Florida State in what? I think it's six years now. Man, that's even crazy to say. But, I mean, man, I was just talking.
Has it been six for us? I think it's four.
It's four.
I think it's four.
They killed
EJ Manuel. Five out of six, though.
Well, yeah, man, it's something crazy, man. I'm getting tired of losing to them. But, man, I was just talking with a person last week, man. With the schools like Central Florida and South Florida took away from the talent from those three schools. So, I mean, man, so it's kind of hard to be those top schools, because in the early 90s, everything came through the state of Florida. And then,
right. And I think social media has watered it down a little bit too, because now these kids get to see all these other programs, and the message can be distributed a whole lot more effectively with social media than back in the day when you were just mailing pamphlets. Now you can send a kid a video of your facility. You can send him, you know, it's endless. So I think I do agree with you a little bit that USF and UCF, but ultimately, I think they're taking more players away from teams that used to come into the state, like a Wisconsin or a Purdue and programs like that.
I mean, man, but the thing is, Louisville always does well. Mm-hmm. Coming to Florida and still some guys. I mean, but the thing is, man, hey, we got to keep Bama out of the state, man. Bama comes in and get our top guys and then leave us dry. So
they ain't got no salary cap, Rutt.
None.
Hey, playing against. Oh, go ahead, Bert.
I was just going to ask him about these issues going on campus. I mean, your day, we used to hear about kids, you know, somebody getting in trouble for getting in a bar fight. Now these kids at UF are getting in trouble for credit card fraud.
You know what, though? It's the same problem, man. Hey, the bookstore has actually been a problem for years.
This is nothing new.
Back in my day, everybody.
This is nothing new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, back when I played, all of it was cash. Nothing was paid on card. So
nobody was getting in trouble.
Credit card fraud and all that type of stuff. But the bookstore always got about six guys every single year, even when I was playing.
How do you prevent something like this? How do you prevent this?
The only way that they can do that is just to have all the guys' books already purchased, and then from here, hand them out to them. I mean, but that's not how it works. I mean, but man, that's the only way to do it is for the school to already actually purchase the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, here, man, here's your English book, here's your math book, take it.
Only thing gonna solve it, Rutt, is pay for play, man. Other than that, man, these kids taking money and doing illegal things for money, man.
Man, you know what?
But Terrell Pryor, everybody else, man, until it's pay for play, you're gonna run into this every couple of years. That's what
I believe these kids should get paid. Not a salary, but
something.
Really nice stipend.
Yeah.
Really nice one.
Really nice.
So do you think the kids at UF should make them as much money as the kids at USF?
Well, of course not.
So, and that's the issue. I mean, that's going to be – and I'm not – I agree. I do think that
these kids should get
paid. Yeah, but I don't make the same as the guy that works at fucking Apple.
I mean, it's going
to
be some
– the guy at Apple doesn't mow lawns either, Kev.
It's going to be some problems. Because the thing is, man, these guys can't work, and then, man, they're like daily schedule is crazy. Yeah. I mean, man, our teams say that only practice 20 hours per week on paper, but really that's about 40, 40, 50 hours a week from film, practice. Yeah.
Getting ready.
Yeah, man, it's
strength
crazy.
And conditioning.
I wouldn't say pay them, but the players need a really nice stipend.
Hey, Rutt, man, before we get you off here, man, I need your favorite Spurrier moment and your favorite rivalry moment with Florida State, man.
Favorite Spurrier moment, man. Had to be playing Georgia, at Georgia. I think that was my sophomore year. Man, it was the shortest team meeting ever. She was like, guys, got Georgia on Saturday. And we're gonna score 50. Break. That was it.
Classic Spurrier, bro.
Hey, that was a total team.
I wish we had those memes now, man. That'd be nice.
I mean, man, like literally like I'm saying 20 seconds.
Right.
And we put up like 55 that Saturday as well.
Favorite Florida State rivalry, man. Favorite Florida State rivalry memory.
The favorite Florida State memory. I mean, man, first off, it was battles, man. We had some battles with those guys. I mean, man, they had talent on talent. Pro guys playing on both teams. I mean, man, but my favorite game had to be in 97. That's when Quez caught the 9-route on roll. And then Fred T scored a couple plays later. I think that game was like 32-29. I mean, but man, that was an awesome game, man. Back and forth the game. Had to be the greatest game played in the Swamp.
Hey, Rutt, before I get you off here, I just want to let you know this, man.
Pause.
Yeah, pause that, yeah. Anyway, Rutt, they got me on one. They've been waiting to get me, bro. But yeah, I just want to tell you before you get off of here, man. When I was a kid watching y'all boys play, man, in the Swamp, you, Fred, and all y'all had visors. I was probably the only defensive back in Little League with a neck roll, man. That's
crazy.
You're looking crazy. My pops was like, "What you doing with that, bro?" Had a neck roll that cornerback, bro.
Looking crazy, bro. Man, that's funny.
Yeah, Johnny, we appreciate you coming on, man. Do you have a Twitter handle? Well, first of all, let me warn you. If you give out your Twitter handle, you're going to have the goons. Now, the big three raw goons are all going to follow you. So if you're ready for that.
Man, follow me. It's at JRut58. At JRut58.
All right, man. Have a great night. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, Rutt, we'll get you back on for the Florida State week, man, if you're down for it.
All right, cool, man.
All right, man, appreciate it. Thanks a lot,
man. All right, bro.
And that was awesome. I wasn't know what to expect from that interview, to be honest with you. And
Rutt, man.
Pretty good.
So that's a legend right there, bro.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on for Florida State for the week.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I think he could talk some shit, too, especially if Florida State looks like they're going to go down in that game, then.
Are y'all going to make a bowl? You think y'all going to make a bowl?
I don't know. They're trying to get to play that Louisiana Monroe game now.
I might want to get that one back, bro.
Yeah, I might need that one for that sixth win. All right, well, let's
fly out there.
Yo, actually, let's flip it right now. We got to get Cole Kublik on the phone.
You got to talk about these lives, man.
We're back on the Big Three Roll-Up. Second guest of the evening, we have Cole Kublik. Cole's a alum of the show. I believe he was on in July. And, Cole, we're just going to get this out of the way real quick. Your NC State playoff prediction went viral. Do you regret it, or do you think that might actually propel your career in a weird sort of way?
It's gotten me very familiar with the mute button on Twitter.
There you go.
So I mean, it's just gotten to the point where I mean, you can tell who's trying to spew venom and who's having fun with you. And if you're having fun with me, I don't care. I deserve it. But I mean, I'm just to the point now where I mute people and move on, and it's over. But you know, listen, it's something that it's something that I believed when I looked at the conference up and down based on what I knew was coming back. Did I think it was a long shot? Yeah, of course it was. But I wasn't comfortable going with
the four teams
that everybody in the country is going to think is going to make it. You know, and there were some other teams that I wasn't real high on, like a USC. And I mean, I should have, looking back, I would have left the Pac-12 out, to be honest with you, because I think the Pac-12 is taking a huge step back this year. But no, I mean, they have an elite defensive line. The secondary's played like trash, and they're having trouble finding explosive plays, which I thought with Nyheim Himes at tailback, because Matthew Day's as good as he was, he got run down a bunch mm-hmm. last year. So I thought with Himes at tailback in the same system and a pretty good O-line, led by Ledford, that they would probably be able to find more explosive plays, and a couple big play receivers were back, that they might be able to stretch the field a little bit more. But they're still dinking and dunking a lot. But, you know, it's gotten into where they are now. They have a chance. It's not like they can't play their way in. I don't feel good about saying that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Do you feel a little bit of redemption with, it, you know, them knocking off Florida State?
No, because they did it against a freshman quarterback who hadn't played any in his life, and they still had trouble putting the nail in the coffin late in that game. I mean, they had 2.5 quarters to put that thing away. And
yeah.
It's like I'm sitting here watching that game thinking, this is what all those NC State people were mad at me about. Like, they tried to warn me about, like, why are you doing this to yourself? It's like, they can't put – this game should have been over 20 minutes ago. Like, and I'm not talking 20 minutes on my watch. Like, 20 minutes of game clock ago, this game should have been over, and they couldn't find a way to put it away.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you found the mute button on Twitter, because you had a real interesting tactic there early on. You were, like, replying and acknowledging – all these guys. I even said something to Silk, who's on the show with us. I said something to Silk about it. I was like, I don't know what Cole's doing, but he needs to ignore these guys. So
he's replying
I'm glad
to every guy. Like, you can't do that.
I'm glad that you found the mute button. I was going to suggest that to you. Moving on back to football, though. Yesterday in Jimbo Fisher's press conference, he said that he thought the Florida State O-line played pretty well. Do you agree with that?
I didn't really see it that way. I mean, I'm not going to say they played bad. I'm not going to say they played well enough to win the game, in my opinion. You know, I see a lot of technical and fundamental breakdowns. I mean, the right tackle just immediately opens his hips to the sideline and can't find a way to keep a decent base when he's taking a pass set. It sets him up for failure on almost every play. You know, left tackle is just over-aggressive, trying to punch people's lights out, you know, carries his weight too far over his toes. And it's just, you know, the right guard is just, he's a little bit stiff. He plays hard. He's kind of a mauler, but you know, if you give him a move or two, sometimes it's going to be difficult for him to stay latched on. So I just, maybe from an effort perspective is how Jimbo meant that. And from that point of view, I would say, yeah, I think they gave good effort. For the most part, I think from an assignment standpoint, they were where they needed to be a lot of the time, but technically and fundamentally, which is, it's, I mean, if there's like three pillars of success for an offensive lineman, I mean, technique and fundamentals are going to be one of those. And I thought they were lacking when it came to that.
Yeah. Moving on to the D line, Florida State's defensive tackles, they were definitely active and disruptive throughout the entire game, but I felt like the DNs were neutralized. We heard a lot on the message boards on Knowles 24/7 over the last couple of days about the coaching and stuff. And to me, when I'm watching that, I was seeing a lot of just one-on-one battles that the defensive ends, you know, on third and longs, that they just weren't winning. Do you think that when you see the ineffectiveness of Florida State's defensive ends, is that more of a coaching issue or is that more just an effort / player issue?
Yeah, I think we have gotten, and I'm going to get a little off track here.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten so, for some reason, obsessed with when we see a kid have a breakdown, we immediately want to say bad coaching.
Right.
And listen, I think we made it pretty clear that if we were talking about the other side of the ball, that I would probably have no problem saying that bad coaching was a part of what Florida State was doing on the offensive line. But I'm not going to say that. And I'm not going to say it about the defensive ends, because put the Alabama film on and those dudes are causing problems on almost every play.
Right.
And that's against a better offensive line, maybe not at right tackle, but I mean, center left, it's a much better offensive line. I can, this Auburn Clemson game, I'm working that night at the same time. And when I get my phone out after the game, all I'm seeing is Herb Hand needs to be fired. Herb Hand's the worst offensive line coach in history. How can this happen? And these people are mentioning me, which is hilarious because it's like, what am I going to do? Like, respond to that? I'm not going to give that really any credence publicly. But then I go back and I watch it, and it's like I see Prince Tega at left tackle take four perfect pass sets, and then he takes a pass set where he gets his feet together and opens his hips up and gives a direct line to the quarterback and gets beat, and all of a sudden people say that's bad coaching. Well, is it bad coaching if a kid has almost perfect technique and fundamentals for six plays and then he breaks down on the seventh play? I mean, at some point in time, some of this has to come down on the players. And I'm all for protecting collegiate athletes. I try not to be too hard on these young men because I've been there, I've done it, and I screwed up plenty of times myself. So I know what they're going through. I know what it's like. But at some point in time, if a guy plays poorly or makes a mistake, it's not always a direct reflection on his coach or coaching. I mean, guys got to go out and make plays. So whether it's efforts, whether it's knowing where to be, whether it's technique and fundamentals – the players got to know what to do, where to be, how to be there, and how to do it, essentially, as well. So I think that we've gotten just a little bit obsessed with wanting to blame failures on coaches and coaching when a lot of the times it's fundamental breakdown or assignment breakdowns by the player. And some people love pointing that out, and some people point it out too often, but there has to be a happy medium of this guy might be coached well, but he may have just screwed up. It's the same thing with teams. Like, teams can play bad and lose a game. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten to this point now where it's like, oh, you lost the game? You're trash. You don't belong in college football anymore. You're the worst team I've ever seen. I mean, look at this roller coaster Mississippi State's been on the last few weeks. It's like they went from no one wanted to talk about them to one of the second best team in the SEC after beating LSU. Then they get trashed by – they get beat down by Georgia. No one wants – Auburn's a 9.5-point favorite, which I have no idea how that happens.
The problem with that, Cole, is nobody's really football fans. They're just like fanatics of their team.
So they just get those – off.
Yeah, they got to get their tweets off and their emotions off. But here's my thing with the coaching.
You used the perfect term there, and that's the difference, fan and fanatic.
Yeah.
And fanatics cannot see reality 90% of the time.
Not even, man. It's just all the way. We should be the best team in the world, and everybody else should suck. That's how it works. But here's my thing with the coaches player thing. I mean, when it all boils down, I try to find a happy medium too, but when it comes down to it, man – the fans are going to look at it like, okay, even if it's the players, the coaches recruited that player. So it always points back to the coach. The coach is in charge. He gets paid a salary. He's in charge to make sure the team wins. But that's just my stance on it.
Yeah, it's responsibility.
At the end of the day, it's his responsibility. He's the only one getting a paycheck on paper.
Yeah, and I agree with the majority of that. And going back to the Florida State defensive ends in that game, the one thing that I'll say in their defense is the way Drinkwitz works his offense, and you guys have seen it, a lot of screens, a lot of quick ball distribution, you know, a lot of RPOs, a lot of heavy outside zone stuff, which is making those guys run and run a lot. I mean, backside defensive ends chasing down opposite stretch plays. I mean, that's a 30, 40-yard sprint, you know, just to be involved in the play. Screens, 20, 30 yards downfield, just to be involved in the play. And I think a lot of times, not only by gassing you out, but on some of those third downs, it just if I can make you think for 1 second that we might be screening you or we might be running a draw underneath you, then I've got you beat. Because that allows my tackle. If my tackle can get one kick step up on you, then we're good. We should win that. I need one step. If I get one step as an offensive tackle on you, then I should be in a comfortable position to not get beat inside. I should be able to close back down,
wall
you off, and then I can run you off outside if you do beat me off the edge because I've widened you out enough.
Game of inches.
Yep,
absolutely.
Cole, now, we brought you on, one, for your NC State hot takes, but also because you were on the sideline over the weekend for the Florida-Kentucky game. So from your perspective, who's the best option at quarterback for Florida moving forward?
Oh, it's Del Rio, and I don't think it's close. I was really surprised when I was watching the sideline, and I sort of figured out that he was going to go in. So I went and stood behind the bench, and I'm watching him. Mm-hmm. And this kid's jawing with fans. He's high-fiving his offensive line. Like, just you could see the confidence that he had when he was about to enter this game. And he comes in. What does he do right off the bat? He's challenging down the middle of the field, and he throws a pick. and then finds a way to come back, battle back, and win that football game. And I just don't know that's some of the things that he does. It's just being around the game for a really long time. And you can say, well, I coach his kid. Yeah, it's great. But I mean, this kid's been in film
college for 7 years.
Meetings,
yeah, he's like a
practice.
7 year senior.
Absolutely. So I went back and looked it up, and like, I think his first game, he got in against USC in like 2014. I was like, that was his college debut. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude's been around football for a long time. So I just think that he's been around so long, he's not really going to get rattled. He can calm the rest of the offense down, and he's not afraid to take some of the chances that offense is going to need somebody to take. And I don't know what else you want aside from, you know, everybody's going to look at that receiver as being uncovered and no defender over there. But I'm not sold that a kid with the experience level of Felipe Franks comes to the line of scrimmage on a run play, what doesn't even begin to waste the time to check it, just immediately snaps the ball and turns and throws it. That play wasn't checked. That play wasn't audible. Del Rio had the wherewithal to know, if I just take the snap, turn, and throw it, we're going to be good. And that ended up winning the game for him.
Nah, Cole, if you look on it, Nuss knew that play was going, the receiver's not going to be covered on that play. It's the same formation that they ran when Frank Stewart the first time.
Yeah, Mac told me at halftime. I asked him, and Mac said we got a tip from up top that when we overloaded and we went heavy at a certain formation that they were having trouble lining up to that. So they yeah. like you said, they knew it was coming.
Yeah, I didn't talk to Mac, but I told these guys that Sunday. Like, somebody seen that from the box, man. It was obvious. Now, after looking at Florida football now, who do you think is the best defensive line playing on that playing in that front?
As far as in the state of Florida?
No, on the Florida defensive line. Who do you think is the best defensive line? Who's getting the most production?
I would say Taven Bryan. I like the way he uses his hands. I think he's disruptive more often than people give him credit for because it doesn't show up in the stat sheet all the time. But, I mean, you could make the argument that it's Zuniga, and I would have no problem with that because I think that kid affects a lot of plays more than just, you know, speed rushing on third and tens. He does get hooked at times in the run game, which can be a problem. But I've seen Taven do things sort of inside and outside. I've seen him penetrate in the run game. I've seen him collapse the pocket. And he just seems to be active on almost every play when he's in the game. You know, and then you got a dude like 99 who's not getting as many reps as everybody else, but is just like
bad boy
on fire and just an absolute maniac when he's in the game. So, I mean, he's fun to watch play. He just doesn't get the opportunities that some of those other guys do. But I'd go 93. I'd say Taven Bryan is probably the most productive in my opinion.
Yeah, right now he's the most productive. I think 99 is going to have a real big season. This Kentucky was his first start, so he's starting to catch on fire a little bit. On our back end, we're having some issues with the safety position, man. These guys look like they're scared to tackle. How do you feel about maybe playing an inexperienced safety? I know it's a safety position, so that's your last line of defense, man, but we got older guys that are not footing the bill, man. How do you feel about younger guys maybe playing it?
Put them in. I mean, we played a true safety, Brad Ware, when I was at Auburn, and he was the kid that quit in 2-a-days and went home and came back, and Bill Oliver thought he could play and played him, and he ended up having a great year. You know, LSU is playing Delpit right now, and he's making plays. So if you got a guy back there that at least is going to give you the effort and not going to back down, then you got to go with him. I don't think you have much of a choice, especially with, you know, the problem with that defense is going to be depth. And I think you got to get guys in who you're confident when that first group is in and you need them, it's going to make plays.
Okay, now that we're several weeks into the season, who do you think is the best 0-2 team in the country?
I think there's only one 0-2 team. Everybody else is like 0-3 and 0-4.
Oh, so it's Florida State. Okay.
Man, don't let them fall. Just being an ass.
I'm trying to get them some they need more moral victories, man. I'm trying to get them some more victories, man. They're lining them up. So.
There's only 8 winless teams out there. That's not very many. So.
They never one of them.
Well, hey, Cole, before I let you go, tell the people where they can follow you on Twitter and where they can listen to your show and get your podcast.
At Cole Kubelik, C-O-L-E-C-U-B-E-L-I-C. The show is on umpsports.com. That's UMP sports.com. 6 to 10 Central weekday mornings. And we have an app. Just search WUMP. Can download it for free and listen anywhere. 6 to 10 Central, so 7 to 11, you guys' time, Monday through Friday.
What game you at this week?
I am in College Station, so South Carolina at Texas A&M, Saturday night.
Should be a bloodbath.
Which direction?
Yeah. I like Texas A&M blowing that shit out. How do you feel about it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to make a prediction on the game, but
I tried to catch you slipping, baby. Trying to see where you're at. I was watching that Kurt Herr's streak. I know you can't do that, so I was trying to get you fired. Get your job real quick.
Job. Yep.
Yeah. South Carolina needs this game. They're beat up. You know, Debo's out. Zach Bailey at right tackle.
That's a big loss, man. Debo's looking good. Player. Yeah, he was looking good. I was scared of him a little bit.
I'm glad.
He was unbelievable. I think A&M, of all the SEC teams that have not really won anybody over yet, I think they could be a team that looks the most different, you know, week 8, 9, 10, just because they're young and some – I mean, Osmond at receiver, Mond at quarterback, they've got some legit talent. They just need to sort of – they're still moving the pieces around on the offensive line. They get that figured out with Travion and Ford in the backfield. They could be a really different team if they stay healthy in 4 or 5 weeks.
Who you got winning the East?
I pick Florida. I'm staying with Florida. So I'm not changing it. It's like the people
talk your shit, Cole.
People give me a new Final Four. I'm like, I got NC State in the playoff. I'm not going to change it. I'm not backing down.
You got to change that. You got to change that. I don't know if you want to tweak it or not, but you got to change at least them.
I'm not getting away from that one. So that's going to be with me in 15 years.
You still think that defensive line is the best defensive line in the country?
No, Clemson is best D line in the country.
He's been consistent with that. I think NC State. Yeah, NC State too, right?
Three. Yeah, it was NC State, Florida State, and Clemson were my top three. I can't remember the order after Clemson.
Do you still have Florida State at two?
We have Miami.
They're up there.
I know that.
They're up there. I think Michigan. I haven't seen. I mean, I want to see more of Miami. I still feel really good about it, but I want to see them in more games that mean more. But Michigan's a team, man, that deserves to be in it. I thought they were just going to be.
Oh yeah, if you ask me, they won. Shit.
Yeah.
If you ask me, like I'm the Gator guy. Yeah.
They look
that's
like
the NFL line. In my opinion, that's the best line ever. Shit.
Yeah, but the Clemson line. Hey, the Clemson line looked really good against Lamar Jackson. Is that because of how good they are, or just how bad that offensive line is, or a combination of both?
It's both. That O-line is not as bad as they were last year, which is not saying much because I'm on record as saying that I think the most impressive college football accomplishment I've ever seen in my lifetime is Lamar Jackson winning the Heisman behind that offensive line. I still don't know how he did it. But they're a little bit better, but that Clemson D-line's legit. Man, they got different dudes that can do different things. They got versatile guys, powerful guys, fast guys, quick guys, long guys. I mean, they got everything, man. It's they're going to cause a lot of problems no matter who they play.
All right, Cole, man, we appreciate you coming on. Probably maybe get you on in November sometime later on in the season, revisit some of these hot takes of yours. So get some rest, man. You're one of the most busiest people in college football right now.
I appreciate you guys having me, man.
All right, thanks.
Man. Appreciate it, man.
All right, man, hold it down.
Cole Kublik.
I like it, man. I like having the like X's and O talk every once in a while, man.
It all the time. We could.
Yeah, I wish Javier could come back on, bro. That was some elite X's and O shit.
Oh man, Javier got a job now, bro.
Yeah, they heard him on the Big Three roll ups.
So yeah,
heard him, had to sign his ass up.
You think he put a word in for me and you, Kev?
Yeah. Shit. Yeah.
Probably not.
Nah, I'm thinking probably not.
Man, you know what was
funny? I got a call, bitch.
You know what was funny after the NC State loss? Like, I got to deal with, you know, I got to deal with shit on Twitter. I got to deal with my friends talking shit to me. I got to deal with you assholes talking to me. On Monday morning, I get a call from Kevin Patrick. I'm like, come on, man. And he's just calling. He's just calling to talk some shit about his boys going into Doke. What can you say, man? That D line, and that's why Cole had them ranked so high. You saw it right there. I mean, they were so disruptive. They
absolutely got Florida State out of their game plan. I think that's why Florida State had to chuck it around 38 times or 36 times, because they couldn't find, you know, they couldn't find any holes to run through. And
got to find holes to run through.
Well, stop giving that shit to number nine, dog.
I said holes.
Oh, holes. Oh, my bad. Yeah. Shit, wrong show. My bad.
What'd you say, Kev?
Stop giving it to number nine.
Yeah, well, I said what's going to happen. He was going to start that game, but Cam Akers had 12 carries in that game, and Jacquizz Patrick had 8. I think that's going to be a trend that we continue to see, and I think that gap's going to only widen.
That's about 6 too many, bro.
You think
so? He ain't that bad, Kev. He ain't that bad. I mean, you got to play more than one back. I think he's a good change of pace.
He caught the ball for big man, too.
I mean, he just don't run his size and shit, but if offense is not giving him a hole, he can hit it. I mean, I can too, but shit, I ain't on the team. I think Patrick's okay.
No, nah, he's all right. I'm just fucking around.
Yeah,
all right. Yo, Silk, did you?
I kind of wish he'd run his eyes, though.
Silk, did I see that you went and ordered a chicken tender sub from Publix this week?
It was on sale, bro.
Do not listen to me. They're on sale for a reason. Simple supply and demand. If the demand is down,
that bitch is $5.
Down, put it on sale. And increased demand. There's a reason why that's always on sale.
Peanut butter was on sale this week, bro. Everybody buys fucking peanut butter, so, man.
All right.
That shit up.
So give your review of the chicken tender sub.
To be honest with you, I had this Paula lady at the is the Boynton Beach Publix off of A1A. Paula recommended it. She gave me some great toppings ideas. And I said, hey, roll with it. Let's see what happens. The bitch was delicious. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. It was fucking delicious, but I had an official visit with the handicap stall later that day. Jesus Christ, bro.
Sometimes when you win, you lose.
Sometimes when you win, you lose, man. I had to decommit, bro. Never going to eat that sandwich again, dog.
It was that bad.
It tasted good, but it was hot twice. I tell you that shit. It was hot twice, and she went heavy. She dressed it with heavy buffalo sauce.
Right,
it was heavy. That's why I said it was hot twice. It was heavy.
Yeah. I got a confession to make. On Sunday, I had that same shit. Buffalo.
What the fuck's wrong with you guys? Do you not listen to the podcast?
Hey, bro.
Hey, man, your trash ass takes, bro. That fucking bread condom shit made me rebel against your
that chicken tender sub is a trap. The chicken tender sub is a trap.
The shit, when she dressed that bitch, it looked delicious. It tasted delicious, but the end result was terrible. I can't work under those conditions anymore. So
we're boycotting the chicken tender sub.
Yeah, we're back to no chicken tender sub, bro.
Yeah, I'm back to it.
All right. Speaking of boycotts, I actually got a question for you two, and I'll answer it as well after I hear your opinions. But
all right,
just bringing it around to what we got to talk about, which is what's going on in the NFL and taking a knee. If you guys were players, would you take a knee and why? And I'm especially interested to hear what Kev says, since he's ex-military.
Go ahead, Kev.
I don't know. Yeah, see, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would take a knee, but I would definitely support.
Your wife would take a knee, so you need to take a knee.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I don't know how I'd react. I would definitely support anybody that takes a knee, though. Like, I get it. I get why people are taking a knee. Like, if the team didn't come out or the team wanted to hold arms or whatever, like, I'm good with all that. Like, I have no problem. I have no problem with what the original message was of taking a knee, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to talk about you're disrespecting the flag. Well, nobody that goes into the military or nobody who's claims to be a patriot fights for a flag. Like, when you raise your hand and you
fight for the people.
You swear in, right? Like, when the president's mm-hmm. sworn into office, when you swear into the military, when you re-enlist in the military, before you get deployed, your job is to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So the Constitution says in the first amendment of it is freedom of speech. So nobody fights for a flag. You fight for the Constitution. So anybody who says that you're being disrespectful by kneeling or – If you wanna represent on a flag, join a gang. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna say my opinion on it, but all this shit always get back to the money. Military pays the NFL for the flyovers, the anthem, the military pays for that shit, bro. So everything always get back to a bag of money in America, bro. That's just my stance. So I don't want to get too serious on here, but everything gets back to a bag of money. And would I kneel? Yeah, I would kneel like Ray Lewis, motherfucker. Like, both knees, but I ain't going to be praying. You know what I'm saying? Damn right I'm going to kneel, man, because Cap kneeled for a real reason, dog, and it wasn't nothing disrespectful. He didn't disrespect anybody. He didn't go out of his way to say anything crazy. He just said, hey, man, I think we need to pay a little attention to what's going on in our country and acknowledge what's the injustice that's going on in our country. That's all he said. He didn't say anything disrespectful. People just don't want to – like, people get uncomfortable about other people's realities, man. That's just life.
Some people Cap's going to go down as a fucking – Cap's gonna be written about in fucking history books. I feel like, man, like he took a stance when nobody else was really.
Now it's trendy. It's the ice bucket.
And now it's trendy. But now the people that are against it are gonna turn the conversation around. Right. Like, you're disrespecting somebody, but that's not what it's about at all. Like,
so I don't think I would not take a knee. And I say that with full respect.
You
want
to mess up your capris?
I say that with full respect to those that do choose to take a knee. I don't think that those that take a knee hate America. I don't think that those that take a knee are being disrespectful. I think you can take a knee and love America and love the troops all at the same time. You can do all three. I understand what taking the knee is meant to do, and it's to spread awareness about the things that were going on, especially with the police brutality. It's a protest. Protests aren't supposed to make you feel comfortable. And I think it's fine to be uncomfortable. I guess if, like Kev said, if my teammates asked me to, I probably would, depending on the conversation that we have with them. But even if I didn't take a knee, I'd fully support everybody that did.
Like, I don't even know how the troops got brought in.
But here's my thing. How do you support everybody that did if you're not kneeling?
I mean, they have my support.
So you agree to freedom of speech. That's what you're saying. I agree to freedom of speech, and they should be able to do that.
Yeah, but I would also verbally, you know, like if I'm in the locker room and a reporter asks me about my teammates kneeling, I would say I fully support their right to do that, and I support the cause that they're –
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, I support the cause, but I'm just saying
I can agree with a lot of shit and not take part in it.
Right.
You know, I agree.
But it's not support.
I agree when a police officer shot, what was it?
Everybody.
Everybody, right? In Baltimore.
Everybody black.
Yeah, everybody black, right?
I
support that shit, but I ain't going to the Lucian, bro. But yeah, right. I'm down for the. I hear you, but I ain't going to the Lucian.
But what I'm saying is, like, you can agree to say, yeah, he has the right to do that, but that's not actually like support. Like what the NFL just did Sunday.
No, but I said, like, if I was doing an interview in the locker room after the game, and they were trying to like get me to talk shit about support. Them, I would have full support. I would agree with their protest. I would back them up 100%. I'm just saying, I would have to like. I'm not just going to take a knee just because it's trendy. I would have to see what they had to say to me and why they want me to do it. And if the whole team's doing it, like, I'm in, that sort of thing. I'm just not, like, going to be. Just,
I'm with Shannon Sharp, man. It's just like he just put a good light on the whole situation. It's just – it's corny, man. Like, you got owners out there kneeling and people that said that. No one
jumped the shark.
They're kneeling,
the shark
but, no, but they're not kneeling for the cause. They're kneeling for that shield, man. The NFL got called out by Trump. Everybody kneeled in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was corny to me.
Yeah.
But word to Cap, man. Cap out you, man.
Yeah. And, of course, this is something we talked about over the summer, but social media and Facebook, man. I swear.
Don't stay on Facebook. Get off that shit.
I don't understand.
Just look at what you was doing 3 years ago. Like, it shows you what you were doing 3 years ago today. Look at that shit. Read TJ fucking Bible scripture of the day and then log off.
Does TJ got a stripper pole in the backyard? Oh no, that's a lamp.
It does look like a stripper pole in his back.
It kind of does.
Yo, let's get Sherman right now. I forget what we were talking about. I blacked out. My ADD kicked in.
Was Landon Picks worse than Sherm's?
We're gonna have to debate this.
Well, no, were they or not? It's not a debate. They both pick games. What was the record?
Sherm's had to be worse.
I think Sherm went 2-2 and Landon went 1-5, so 1-4. So Sherm beat him out. Sherm was less sucky than – almost said a bad word. Less sucky.
All right, fire up Sherm.
Yo, we got Sherm on the phone, bro. Sherm, you went 2-2 last week, man. What you got this week?
I don't know. What do you got going on? You winning?
Kev stays winning.
I'm undefeated, baby.
Undefeated out here in these streets.
Are you? Are you? You're undefeated, huh?
He ain't in power five play yet.
My team is.
How's that FBI investigation going?
That's basketball. Don't nobody give a shit about basketball. Let's not even try to act like
this. I wish it was some football shit, though. That would be fun.
It will.
They don't got a football coach. They got a diving coach. That's why you see Joe, Pope, Russell, all of them leaving. They're like, we want to play football. hey, Kev, they said you were talking on Sunday, but your mic was cut off. What were you saying?
Well, you were talking about Mark Walton. I said he was the best running back because he ran for 200 yards against Toledo. But I think we were saying that in the offseason since he just came off a 1,216 touchdown season, man. So I don't know if it's got much to do with Toledo. But I was letting you talk, man. You go ahead, bro.
And look at the big game numbers.
No. You're right. You're right. Well, I got four picks this week for everybody. I went 2-2. We're on. So what did my replacement do? Because y'all tried to replace me and kick me off.
He went 1-4.
Yeah. And
so in turn, he was like a perfect fucking replacement. You get the same results.
In turn, I'm 8-10. And if you bet per unit, I'm down 2 point whatever units. But that's all right. We'll get out of it this week. But I got one. 5-star, can't miss. I'm a pure gambling selling play this week. And you're going to love it, Kev. You know what it is?
No.
You don't?
What do you think is Duke plus six?
Let's talk real quick. Where are you heading this weekend? Where's Miami going to?
Duke. Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
Sherm, talk into your mic. Talk into your mic, Sherm.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. All right. Can you hear me now?
No.
Better. I thought you had the real phone for a second, bro.
Go ahead, man. Bet with your heart.
It's my Boost. It's my Boost Mobile.
Bet with your heart again, bro. I can't believe they trolled you into being a Noel fan, bro. I seen that too,
but I just wanted to say, I mean, I'm just being honest. The way it should be ranked right now, I'm just being honest. If I had a vote, and if you had a vote, and you're being fair, Florida State would be ahead of both of us. That's just being realistic. Their 0-2 is better than both of our records. And that's just real.
Just being real, yeah. I mean, they just played two. I mean, people can talk crazy, but North Carolina State was a bad matchup for them with a rookie with a freshman quarterback. But yeah, Florida State's not.
Because they're all FSU fans.
No, I'm just being real.
We could cut up the audio.
You said I'll be a Noel.
I'm going to be a Nolan. I'm saying for that bet. Yeah, you damn right. I'll wear Miami colors if they're going to make me money. But anyway,
it's the big three Nola.
So I got to be politically correct. I'm going to just say it like this. Duke this weekend is getting 7 at home. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, they're a top 10 rushing defense. So we're going to see what this Mark Walton's about. And they didn't play no half-ass bum scrub. They played Northwestern. Baylor just put up points last week. And who else did they play? UNC, which that was what we call a real trap game because they could have been looking ahead. They could have been doing whatever. But, you know, they got a big opponent this week with the Russell Athletic Bowl champions coming into town. And I'm going to take them 7. I'm gonna pick them up.
No, they actually trolled Sherm into fucking just rooting against Miami all the time now. What did Miami do to you, bro?
I bet with Miami. I think you've known me through the years. I bet with Miami each week and usually kind of win with them. But I'm not. No. You got a half-ass quarterback, dog. I don't know what he is. I'm not. I gotta watch out. But he ain't no. I'm telling you right now. You might get looked out.
You gotta let them boys go in and Power Five play with it, thumping their chest, bro. That's the yearly routine, man.
But nobody's saying
that. They get two cupcakes. They thump their chest and then they run into Florida State and that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Kevin, you keep saying we're not saying anything. They really have been telling me, hey, listen, you're acting like, oh, Toledo and Bethune are better than – I'm serious. I've heard it over and over and over again that Toledo and Bethune-Cookman, who literally – y'all beat them, what, 45-13? FAU and Lane Kiffin – never mind. I'll be right. But they beat them 45. They blanked them. Y'all let them score. with that all-world defense. You got a hell of a producer on the defensive end, though. I like Chaz Beats. Anyway, I'm going to give you the next couple. I got Vandy and UF. I don't think anybody can score in that game. So the under of 42. I think hey, you're looking
sir,
at
– sir, we're about to run it up, baby. Don't lose these people money, baby.
I'm not losing nobody money. We're going to score.
That's going in his bag, dog.
What's the outsider's opinion? I just want an outsider's opinion. In all honesty, I know TJ best a lot. TJ, what do you think UF scores?
He's not allowed to talk on you, bro.
Oh, he's not allowed to talk? All right, sorry. Be quiet, TJ.
Somebody says anyway. Somebody on Same Energy Sunday says if they don't put up 50, then – what do you say? If we don't put up 50 this week on Vanderbilt, then – what are you saying?
I don't know, but Kurt,
he said whatever.
Whatever that preposition was, 50. 50. We better hope we get six sixes.
Yeah, Coach Mack's pregame speech is going to be, hey, boys, come on in here. Go hang 50 on them. Let's go.
That's right,
hold
baby.
On, let me, yep. That's right. Hold on, boys. Hold on, boys. Let me turn off Sharknado for a minute. I was getting free. All right.
Yo.
Yeah, he almost made me quit wearing Columbia and Guy Harvey. All right, anyway, my bad. Hey, all right. Hey, so. fuck. Jesus Christ. Hey, but anyway, I also, what did I whiff on last week? USF?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wrong about quitting Flowers, because he ain't shit either. In fact,
you can't I'm slander gonna be honest the top quarterback in the state.
He's not tough.
I know, but right now saying the best team and the best quarterback in this state is like being the best in the retard class. Like,
easy.
Oh, you got honor roll. Oh, man, come on.
It wasn't a racist slander. He's getting better. He's getting true, better.
He yeah, is I mean, I'm doing great.
Baby
man.
Steps. Baby
hell?
Steps.
Yeah, we're getting there, bro.
All right.
I fucks with you, sir. Let them jokes.
Yeah, I'm down with that shit.
Nobody listens to the show anyway. All right, get your picks.
That's
in,
what I'm saying. All right. Yeah, let me finish. I was just saying straight A's in the ESC class is something to be proud of, bro. Listen, you know, you could be Calvin Ridley one day and be 20 and on the Alabama freshman team. All right, here we go. So let's finish it up. Here's what we're going to do. What, I got two in?
Yeah.
I like the over in Carolina and Texas A&M. Swiss cheese on both. I think it's over 50. I like Georgia to stomp Tennessee. What's that spread at? 7? I don't know what you got it at. People are going to hold me accountable. But I don't know what that is. It's 7. I think they're overrating it. I think Tennessee. I think Butch Jones will get fired this week. And that's all I got for you.
Okay, so let me review real quick.
I think he's out the door this week.
All right, let me review real quick. You got Duke plus 7. You got the Vandy UF under at 42. You're taking 42. The under on that one. Carolina, Texas A&M over set at 50, and you're taking the over on that one. And then you're taking UGA minus 7. Those are your four for this week.
So yeah, it might be 7.5, but at the hook, don't scare me.
So what's your total right now? What's your
right
running
now?
Total?
I'm 8-10 on the year.
That ain't bad.
And that's for college football going into week 5.
Comeback.
Yeah, you.
Next week, give me two. I prefer to bet when I drink, bro. I stutter a lot. I prefer to bet on the NFL, dog. So like college shit, I get too emotional and like those games get so much momentum in college football.
Yeah, it is. 2 weeks ago, you bet NFL and you just bet the favorite. You would have won. Last week, all you had to do was bet every home dog, and you would have won. You just would have won. It's crazy because in the NFL, if you watch it. Like, I ain't saying nothing, but if they had the highest ratings of all time, but then all of a sudden the Raiders come out, and I don't know if y'all watched it, but that game was just fluky. It wasn't fluky to y'all?
That shit was weird, and yeah, dog, I didn't
watch it. I ain't gonna lie.
I mean, it was legitimately fluky.
I was taking out shutters.
When did Coop start having hand problems? When did that shit happen?
He dropped everything. I was right over the middle, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, he dropped that? And then Derek Carr was floating the ball. I was just like, whoa. Jack brought Luke in to help him coach. I was like, man. I mean, he floated the ball just right to where it went. Underthrew him with the noodle arm. All right, well, I'm leaving y'all before you leave me. Like,
hey, sir, dude. Sir.
You ain't hanging up on me, Newberg. Huh?
Hey, sir. Before you get
hang up on his ass. Hang up on his ass.
Sir.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? What you doing the weekend, dog?
This weekend, I got nothing planned.
Let's pull up to the Vandy game.
Oh, sorry, I hung up on Sherm.
Are you hung up? That's fucked up. He said, I think I set that up.
You did.
I did, dog. I was trying to get him to go to the Vandy game with me, bro.
Yo, you got to have
the conversation. You got to be quick.
He's going to be fire hot. He has you figured out, dog. He's about to hang up on your ass, and I held him up, bro.
All right, so should we try taking a couple callers before we get off this thing? Because I'm about talked out.
Let's do it, man. Don't we do a all callers show on Sunday?
Yeah, but I want to take a couple callers.
Callers, dog.
I don't say you're talked out and then fucking talk more.
I said I'm almost talked out.
Okay, we ain't even at 10:30 yet, bro. I told you.
I know. Hey, I'm just bullshitting. I'm down for the calls, man. I ain't got to make no more phone calls tonight.
What about dinner?
Yo, it's the Big Three Roll Up. We got a caller on the phone. Who's this? Where are you calling from? And what's your question?
Hey, this is Kurt calling from Canada.
Oh, God damn, dog.
Hopefully, TJ, do we have to pay for this? Do we have to pay extra for this?
We got no minutes, dog.
Man, go ahead. I'm just fucking around.
Hey, I just wanted to just say something to Kev.
Cuss his ass out.
Funny over the off season, everybody talking about Nintendo Perry going to come in as a true freshman and take over Miami's starting spot. Mm-hmm. So do you not see the writing on the wall that the football gods are about to rip your heart out when a true freshman that's not early enrollee comes in starts and beats Miami for
from the 5-6?
Well, he's from Palm Beach County.
From the crib.
Yeah, if Perry was from Palm Beach County, he'd have been starting too, bro. I seen that shit coming. So, what's the question? You called him from Canada, asked me about fucking the third-string quarterback, bro?
I'm just trying to hey, according to you, in the offseason, he was going to be the starter. Now he's the third-string quarterback.
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
But don't you see how things are lining up? Of just to like feel good and feel
there's
like
a lot of irony. Coming down. I feel you, bro.
And then for them to come and rip your heart out, don't you see that the writing is on the wall that's what's gonna
bro,
happen?
Bro, that's how you're spinning 0-2. That's how you're fucking gonna come on from Canada.
He might not even be. He might not even be an
FSU fan. Who you fan of, bro? Who you cheer for, bro?
Oh, I'm at FSU fan for sure.
What do you mean you didn't know? What do you mean you didn't know? So that's how you're gonna come from Canada?
Florida.
This hope it's freezing there, bro.
Where you from in Florida, bro?
Near Orlando.
Okay.
So you like from a park or some shit?
Deltona.
I've been to Deltona before. That's just some country shit.
Yeah, man.
That's like Puerto Rican Bag Lake.
That's actually pretty accurate. And then I just got to say, too.
I've been there, I know.
And then I just got to say, too, to Silk. I feel like Florida's team, if you really look at the way Tennessee started last year, I feel a lot of Tennessee and Florida this year getting a lot of lucky-ass wins.
Get them
to start, and then you're going to lose three or four in a row, and you're going to end up 8-5.
Talk your shit.
And you ain't got a Drake concert or some shit to go to tonight, bro?
All right, man. Hey, stay safe. Don't die before the weekend. You don't want to be 0-2.
Don't fall off Niagara Falls, nigga, because you ain't got a win yet.
Don't hit no black ice. Is it snowing up there?
It might be. It might be.
Yo, I like that shit, though.
I think it's funny.
He's not wrong.
That was a good call.
That was a great call.
He's from Canada, bro. So what the fuck?
I think it's funny that he called him from Canada and had better cell reception than D. Mill has ever had.
Keep all that shit. Did you got that reporter? Keep all that shit. Fucking hilarious. Fucking D. Mill in Vegas with fucking Canada service.
Yeah, but is Canada closer by mileage?
Hell no.
Vegas?
No.
Hell no.
To
bro.
What?
So like Florida, where we're at.
Oh, dog. No. That shit's west and north.
No, I think it's just north. Is it Canada if I go straight up north, right? If I get on 95, go straight north, I can get to Canada?
No, I don't think so. Not on the East Coast. Not on 95. I don't think you take 95 to the goddamn Canada. I never tried it.
I never been to Canada.
You never taken it to the Canada before?
Nah. I ain't taking that bitch north.
When we was in school in New York, I went to school upstate New York. We used to go to Canada on the weekends. So it was 18. You could drink there and shit. But I don't know how we got there. I used to get in the car.
You didn't drive.
Yo, it's the Big Three Roll Up. We got a caller on the line. Who's this? Where are you calling from? And you got any questions?
What's happening? What's happening? This is Jay from Kemp.
What's going on, Jay?
Oh, really. What's happening, Phil? You had got mad the other day.
At you?
Because on... Yeah, on Twitter, you was like, get that boy out of there before he gonna hurt somebody or something like that.
Oh, apologize to this man, Silk. Apologize to him.
For real, for real. Game. Well, no, what are you talking about? You talking about the game?
Nah, I had tweeted you on Twitter, but we were talking about how Jacob Pugh had got targeted or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, they had to get him out of there. He's been disrespectful and violent to the player.
He gonna hurt somebody.
Hey, get his ass out of there, bro. Trying to run a nice, decent, wholesome game, man. He's hurting people.
Yeah, man. OVO Snowflake Franks.
Man, how you, Snowflake? How you that's got, disrespectful.
Yeah.
Florida State Colors coming.
Hey, are you from Canada too?
Yeah, all these 0-2 vibes going on. What the fuck going on?
Hey,
you
man.
Sound like you ain't win a game this year, bro.
What's up?
Hey, Kel. Y'all gonna What's beat up with Bruno Mars?
Who you like? Who you like?
Hey, you bringing Bruno Mars the dope, man.
Oh, you like Florida State?
Come on, man. Yeah, oh, I like Florida State.
Shit.
I like this shit, man. Y'all got
same energy, team, bro. We had
a lot of energy for 0-2, bro.
Hey, man, I stay with energy. I know what's gonna happen in 3 days.
What? Talk your shit, bro. What's gonna happen?
We gonna get that dub.
You ain't get off
both y'all
side.
Taking losses.
Who taking a loss?
Yeah, this
oh, Vandy.
We ain't losing no motherfucking Vandy, bro. What the hell, you got?
You ain't losing
on
to Vandy.
There? What you rolling up with, dog? I can tell you rolling up with some goddamn grabber leaves, some shit that Dro got.
Nah, man, I'm just dead from work all day.
I feel you, dog. Hey, but nah, might go 0-3, dog. But until y'all beat Wake Forest, be safe out here, bro.
be
very safe, dog. Cause right now, you get hit by a goddamn bus or some shit and end up in heaven with 0-2 record. That's going to be some terrible shit.
God, that's how you do it?
Hey, safe.
Hey, man.
Terrible way to die, dog. All
right, man. Stay healthy. Stay healthy till that first win, all right?
No, they'll be at your funeral and say, bro. Damn, he never even seen a fucking win this season, bro.
I real deal had to tell the doctor he's got to hold off.
He got to hold on, bro.
Damn, dog.
Like the boogeyman, like fucking Jason's outside or some shit.
Bro, why you heard something about my house or something, dog?
Hello?
Yo, it's the big three roll up. What's up? How can we help you? We're here for it.
What's going on? It's Keith.
What's up, Keith? It's Keith.
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 What's
K-E-Y.
Up, man? How you doing?
Keith, Kiefer. Are you Kiefer from Team Mom? This Kiefer?
Nah, Keith. Tell you what.
Keith. Why? You said, oh, just Keith. Just you putting the F at the end of it, bro.
Hey, this is a children's show, man, so don't tell us how you got that fucking name, dog. Just what's your question?
Nah, shit. I'm going to have to holler at you after this.
Yeah. Just put your number in the text box.
Hey, I'm going to say your number. I see it on TJ's shit. I'm going to say your number, Keith. What question you got, bro?
Man, I just got one question, man.
Oh, man.
I'm a Georgia fan. I'm a guy.
There
you go. Nah.
Let him buy. I like Georgia.
Yeah. I like this shit.
Come on, man. Come pee on the couch,
yeah,
bro. Come pee
fan.
On the couch. Lift your leg up.
I just want to know. I got a question for Silk.
Go ahead, bro.
You got an answer, bro. Ain't going to be the one you want to hear.
Do you really think that Luke Del Rio is the answer?
For what? I mean, to beat y'all? I mean,
yeah,
we beat y'all with Trayon, so, I mean, we probably could beat y'all with goddamn, let me see, who I want to put at quarterback right now. We could beat y'all with Garcia at quarterback and some shit, because we beat y'all with Trayon, bro, so it can't get much worse than that, dog.
No, they have Fountain.
I mean, let's not live in the past, because, I mean, that was last year. This is a brand new year, baby. Come on.
That was a couple years ago.
Last year, we beat y'all with Applebee or some shit.
Hey, guess what? Just like you going back in the past, y'all, I'm gonna hop in my time machine, get in the past. Like, guess what? We still lead the series, though. We done won way more times than y'all done won.
You going to the 20s or some shit?
Man, hey,
Sid, how old are you here? Hold on. Hey, Kilo, what hold on a second. How old are you is, bro?
I'm 24.
So since you've been alive, who win the series? That's what count.
Ah!
Hey, also real shit. Hey, on some real shit, Georgia scared the shit out of me, dog. I'm going to be real with you, dog. Georgia scared the shit out of me. Y'all looking good right now. But I hope Muschamp ruin y'all dreams, man. I hope Tennessee fuck y'all up this weekend. This is what I hope. I can have dreams and shit, bro.
Yeah, I've been watching since I was 8 years old. I don't feel comfortable about no game, but we a loser.
How you feeling about your quarterback situation, though? You think Easton going to get out the nose can and then come back and take a job? What you think going on?
Man, this is how I look at it. We don't go to the championship without Easton.
I didn't think Easton played that great when he was in.
He had some moments, though.
I agree. But so is Jake Brown.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to put it like this. Man, we need that experience, that quarterback. That Brown here, freshman, he look good, but he throwing the wide open men. I mean, the people.
That's what you want.
I wish my man
was wide ass open. I was happy about the two guys I got open.
But, Key, here's the thing. By the end of the season, right, when the playoffs are about to start, how much more experience would Easton have than Fromm by then?
Mm-hmm. By then, I'm going based off talent, because sometimes Fromm would throw an out route, and I'd be like, God.
You just said you base it off experience.
I'm basing off experience and talent.
But no, but first you said experience, now you're saying talent.
All right, man.
Key dabbing it. Hey, Key.
His name's Key, bro. Don't get it all analytical.
I just said Key.
What's up?
Don't get high up your own supply, baby. You're getting good now.
I'm not. Because at the end of the day, the quarterback going to be the quarterback. The only way we win is if our
defense can't be the linebacker.
Hey, if our defense play lights out, I feel good about whatever. Right, really, we just like Florida, to be honest.
Oh, shit.
Why?
You don't want to be like us, bro. That's some bad shit right there you just said. You don't want to be like us, dog.
The only thing. Man, for some man, I ain't going to lie. Nuts, man, he need to adjust his personnel.
We've been talking about that. All right, Key, you have a good night, man. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Hey, Key, we'll get you back on for the UGA Florida week, man.
For sure.
Call back in, dog.
Man, I'm talking king shit. Come on, man. Yeah, so I'm
bring it, dog. I'm gonna bring my bag. So you bring your bag.
Yeah, Key. All right,
that's cool. All right, Key, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Kel get nervous when you talking about ACC shit.
Sassy boy.
Yeah, didn't he? We'll see you later.
Josh about to fucking ask him another fucking.
No, I was gonna say tell Key that he needs to let Dog Nation know about the Big Three roll up.
Yeah, but Kel rushed him off, dog. Yeah. So we can't cross the market and shit because Kel's trying to be a caveman.
Yo, it's the Big Three roll up. What up?
What's going on, fellas?
Boy, it sounds like you about to lie. It's a 904 number. Who there?
Back from the dead. Hold on.
Hey, whoa.
You died, man. I thought you died.
I died, baby. What's going on?
What's going on with the fellas?
You said your eulogy at the beginning of the show, Rhodes. We had your whole eulogy. Pastor Kev gave it.
I seen y'all boys going in on me, huh?
Hey, they say you were praying like Ray Lewis on the sideline, dog.
Yeah, that one had me rolling, bro.
Hey, bro, baby Urban Meyer at UF, why'd you deactivate?
Hey.
But hey, dog, I had a heart number.
Honestly, man, it was in the works for a while, man.
No!
No, it wasn't!
I promise you it was. I promise you it was, man. Hey,
you got caught cheating.
Man, you just got to...
That's about the only...
Hey, man.
Did your old lady get caught cheating?
What can I say?
Something happened, bro.
Ain't nothing happened, man.
So let me ask you this.
Just got to man up and be a
D Rhodes. You don't regret deleting your Twitter. You don't miss going on Twitter.
Yeah, I miss it, man. I've been on Twitter since 2011.
Then why'd you deactivate?
Interacting with everybody, huh?
Then why'd you deactivate?
Hey.
You know why he deactivated.
Hey, right now, if y'all was 3-0, Rhodes, would you be on?
I went through much worse with Florida State, bro.
Nah, you went through worse with this shit.
It's still early.
Rhodes, we need you back on the timeline, man. We need you back on the timeline.
I know, man.
What's it going to take for you to come back?
Grimes,
a win over Miami?
Grimes took two L's this week. No. He's still in the paint.
Y'all really think Florida State football got me out of here, huh?
No, Grimes lost.
Your last tweet was about Florida and shit, and like right after the Florida State loss, and we ain't seen you since, dog.
So if FSU beat Bama, you think you'd be deactivated right now? Be honest
with
us.
Hell no.
Yeah. I promise you I would.
We must have got caught cheating then. You had to get caught cheating.
You did.
Nah, man.
Did she have a big booty?
What?
The booty always gets you, bro. Did she have a big booty?
Baby Chloe?
Hey, only booty I see is my wife.
Yeah, he got caught.
All right, bro. All right, Rhodes. So give us your projection for the rest of the season.
I mean, based off what I saw, I see us losing about two more games, man. It won't be to any of these fools that's on the pod. I guarantee you that.
Okay.
You're catching his L, Rhodes.
Hey, we knocking on Miami and Florida.
When we beat your ass in November, you're going to cancel Facebook. You're going to deactivate that shit.
So, Rhodes, what social media platforms can we still find you on?
Huh?
What social media platforms do you remain on?
I'm off them all.
You're off Facebook?
I went cold turkey on Facebook, everything, bro.
Oh, you definitely got caught cheating. All right, man. Hey, actually,
delete the Bob app?
Nah, the Bob app is still going strong, man.
All right. All right, good.
You're using that bitch a lot more.
Hey, give us a baby Blackman before
baby
let you
Blackman.
Go. Yeah.
I got baby Warren Moon on him, man. That boy throw a beautiful ball just like, hey, am I lying off?
First baby
I like. Hey, 5'6",
like.
My 5'6", 1 brethren.
Hey, man,
I've been telling you.
Bro, no, you're talking about you lying. How long I've been telling y'all about Blackman, dog? Like 3-4 years now, dog. I've been begging you left the offer. I've been telling everybody that's the best quarterback in South Florida, period.
I knew when they played Royal Palm and Matt threw that bullshit pass interference call.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law was the ref, dog. It was Gaglade Central against Royal Palm. Matt threw a fucking
yeah. We went to but think about it, man. Like the kid, like his. It ain't just. Of course, he throws a beautiful ball, and of course, he got like the size and all that shit. But it's his mental. What he brings to the game from a mental aspect, man. I just think he's like,
he different, man. Not when I was telling people, I was like. Bro, I'm here.
Just talk to him. Anybody ever have a conversation with that kid, they're going to tell you, man, something different about him, man. It's just his mentality.
He different. And I'm telling people he was looking better than 12 in the fall. But, of course, everybody thought I was just hyping him up. That's why I was – initially I was confident, but he didn't let us down. It was the most for the defense coaching and, of course, the refs. I mean, y'all seen the refs.
Oh,
hey,
look at the refs.
Hey, so we
hey, come on now, bro.
Hey, let's be real.
Hey,
we done with the Durham James Taylor shit, though, right? Like, we dead to that shit. That shit's dead, right?
Hey, I might see y'all on the 7th, though, next week.
All right.
Y'all still coming up? Well, I know Silk ain't coming up.
I was going to come, but Kev was coming, but Kev ain't coming. I can't ride, wait until it has by myself. I got to go to games by myself. I can't go to Talley by myself.
Yeah,
I ain't got no interest.
That's a hype,
Bird ain't even going. Bird quit too. Bird deactivated.
I only go if I'm getting flown up, and I'm not getting flown up this weekend.
Not getting flown up?
No.
Jimbo said, shit, we lose. I can't be just.
All right, Rhodes. Hey, man, stay healthy, you know, until Saturday, all right?
Safe.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, hey, I'm going to be chiming in every night.
I'm about to hit him with it, Bird. I ain't fucking but shit.
All right, stay in touch, too, TJ.
Yeah.
Email TJ if you got any questions, bro.
Hey, I'm gonna check your Twitter account every day, hoping that you're gonna reactivate.
Hey,
you may
follow him. Hey, Berg, did you follow Rhodes when he was on the timeline?
No, he didn't.
Okay, shut the fuck up.
Hey, Rhodes. Hey, Rhodes.
Berg. Hey, one thing about Berg used to follow me. Then I looked at the thing and I think he unfollowed, so I unfollowed him.
Yeah, I couldn't take the Newberg slander.
The Berg is
the 7-on-7s and only following Team Tampa around.
Yeah, Berg gets the phone.
Oh, yeah, I was giving him the business about that Team Tampa.
Yeah, you were. That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, Rose. Hey, we live at the class, man. I got to link up with you now. I know you did.
Oh, yeah.
We got to link up at the
I'm
class.
I'm down there.
All right, man. I'm we got you. All right, we do some black people tough. Shit.
I
don't know what we're talking about.
I may form a fake Twitter.
We had to make some shit. Hey, we live at. If not, we gonna be on my live Periscope shit because we live at the classic. Dog. I'm gonna go with you, Brave.
Oh yeah, we down there, bro. I'm definitely down there. Most definitely.
Sure. Right, we save it till Saturday. Though.
All right, y'all, boy.
All right, peace.
Yeah.
The ghost of D Rhodes called into the show.
Motherfucking D Rhodes.
All right, man. That's a great way to end it. How
he definitely
feel?
Cheated, though. Like he definitely cheated, bro. That's about the only way that shit. I don't know, all that makes sense.
Yeah, you can't just. That's the only way I'm deactivating. If I get, I'm
hey,
not
earlier. So. Earlier when y'all when we were talking about it, and I said, yeah, it's got to be some personal shit. That's what I was talking about. I just want to say that shit.
It's football. It ain't even cheating, dog. Like that 0-2, dog. I went 4-8, dog. I can stand in the paint. This shit ain't nothing to me.
Yeah. Right.
What y'all learn this week?
What you learn, Kev?
Ooh, boy. Come back to me, man. Come back.
I learned that Cole Kublik finally found the mute button on Twitter. I was getting worried about him, to be honest with you, man. He was responding to every damn troll.
Yeah, I learned that Cole Kublik is spiteful as fuck. Now, you can change your Final Four when they lose week one, bro. You can say, all right, I fucked up. Let me fucking amend my shit.
He's a man of his word, Kev.
I learned that fucking J. Rutt liked my fucking tweets, man. I was concerned after he followed me. I'm like, man, he probably think I'm reckless as fuck. But he actually likes that shit. So I
he's
just
from the crib.
He's from the crib. More of the story, just let him fly, kids. Just let the tweets fly.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the followers. Just let them fly.
All right, man. Well, I'm just going to try to stay alive. How about you guys?
Be safe, TJ.
Safe, TJ. I like that shit.
It's another no, big I, thing.
I, you know what I fucking learned? I'm going to tell you what the fuck I learned.
You already told us what you learned.
No, yeah, I learned something else. These motherfucking Florida State fans, it takes them a couple days to build up their energy.
Yeah, did you hear that?
And they call on Sunday.
But he brought some juice.
Then the day, motherfuckers called Collect from Canada.
You can
slept
tell,
it off.
So, you can tell, Silk, so they slept it off. I mean,
slept it off. Like, you know what? Shit, we lost two decent games. We're going to fuck Miami up next week. Let's get this shit calling into the roll-up. That's what he said. He brought some energy.
It's called long distance to talk shit.
Fresh out of the Drake concert. He's ready.
All right, y'all. I'm out.
Yeah. Another Big Three roll-up, baby. Yeah.
I'm just glad to be back.
Appreciate you being back.
It's good to see you, Kev.